Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
A Bit of a Mouthful is super proud to partner with Intrepid. Intrepid's small group food trips connect you with a local leader and a group of folks into food and travel, just like you.
It's not just food trips either. Check out their full range of trips at intrepidtravel.com.
Intrepid, good trips only.
Before you tuck into this lovely podcast, you may be warned that there are words that you may not wish to hear. Some of these words may be a little sweary, so if you have a toddler nearby, place them in a different room and remove any elderly people from the nearby area. These words may include, but not be limited to...
It's the food trip of the week!
Salam alaikum and welcome to this very special edition of A Bit of a Mouthful, because we are live from Marrakesh with Intrepid, because this week's food trip of the week is Morocco, and we are here with food aplenty and lots to talk about. So, Sophie, let's do it.
Let's go. I don't agree with the 6 a.m. airport point and spoons.
We can't be certain that if Sophie got bit by a snake that she wouldn't shit herself anyway. So it's a big...
No, when people shout Pepe Noir at me on the street, I love it. It's the best.
It tasted buttery, but there was no butter. The preserved lemon was really gentle. There was turmeric in there. Oh my God, it was so good.
Oh my God, this chair's too small for my bum. Salam.
Salam.
I'm getting a very wet mouth now.
So am I. It my
was
God,
so,
dribble everywhere.
So tasty. Morocco, what a bloody country.
Don't talk with your mouth full. Unless you're talking about food, in which case it's useful. And that's just what we're about to do. It's all deep with me and Michael, and they're cutting every tip so vital.
That tastes great.
But it's a bit of a mouthful.
Salam alaikum, everyone. We are coming live and direct from the Riyadh Flam in Marrakesh, aren't we, guys? Is that true?
I can't argue
with that. As far as I'm aware, yeah.
That's what we're doing.
Unless something weird's happened.
No, we are. That's why I think we are. And we're in Morocco. It's very exciting. We've been here for two days.
About
and it feels like maybe
days.
Maybe we've been here for a week.
It's been a very nice 2 days. I kind of don't want to go home tomorrow.
I know. Mm. I quite like this new studio we've got as well.
Mm, yes, it's sort of like a big nice living room from a Riyadh, isn't it?
It's exactly what that is, Will.
There's a lot of velvet. There's a mosaic mirror. Mm. There's a chandelier above our heads. We've never had that before.
There is. There's two. The ceiling's made of wood. Frankly, if there was a fire, this would be a serious risk. And it would go down very easily.
But it is January and we're in T-shirts and we've been just standing outside sunning ourselves.
Again,
today.
The hot weather won't help. It's very dry.
There you go. All the fires.
Yeah.
Well, there will be no fires, but there will be a very early crunch time.
It's time for the crunch.
It's crunch time.
We're starting with crunch time.
We're starting
today.
With crunch time for the first time ever in a bit of a mouthful first, because we've just had a lot of peanuts put in front of us, really.
Well, actually, it's not just peanuts.
There's a lot more than just peanuts.
Will, take us through it.
Well, I think that we should actually get Tariq to take us through it. Tariq is our Intrepid trip leader because we are in Morocco, courtesy of Intrepid, who have taken us on the most lovely 2 days. And we've also had the most lovely trip leader in Tariq, who has bestowed upon us some wonderful snacks. It's not the first time he's introduced us to some tasty food, but I think that it's best that Tariq explains what we've got. Hello, Tariq.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tariq, and I am a tour leader in Morocco. Nice to be here with you guys.
Nice to have you here. You're our first guest on this season of the podcast.
We don't normally have guests.
No.
Thank you.
It's very special for us.
Thank you. Yeah. It's a pleasure for me, guys. Thank you. Thank you so much.
But we normally do a section where we have something crunchy, and obviously you've bought the crunchy items today.
Right, yes.
So
what we have here, it is deer horns.
Real deer horns.
Yes, well, it's cookies, right?
So not quite real.
No, yeah.
They're kind of curved.
Yes.
In a horny way.
Yes. Mm,
very horny.
Yeah.
They're exceptionally horny.
Inside, it's almond and orange blossom.
Wow.
Inside, embedded, of the cookies.
We went to a spice shop yesterday. What did they say orange blossom does again?
Orange blossom, we extract out of it rose water.
Yeah.
And we extract out of it perfume, and we use it with mint tea also to perfume the tea.
Did it have any medicinal qualities? I feel like it did.
Of course, yes.
But I can't remember which ones he said.
Well, we use it also when we have migraine or headache. Here, a little massage here.
Oh, perfect.
It's really good to make you fall asleep at nighttime.
Did you hear that, Will? Mm-hmm. Will's been having problems with his...
I've been having... It's all the green tea that we've been drinking. It's a highly caffeinated beverage. And as some of you might know, I did... used to drink quite a lot of Monster Energy drinks, which has put me off caffeine
for life.
So I
think you need one of those deer horns.
It's some kind of bicky.
Should we rate the crunch before we find out what it is?
Oh my God.
Quite crunchy.
It looks like a biscotti fruitcake.
It looks very biscotti. It looks like it's got candied peel in it, maybe.
What is it called?
I want to try one too.
We call it fakas.
Fakas.
Yeah, fakas. The traditional way of saying it.
Fakas.
Yes.
These crunchy fuckass.
Yeah, crunchy fuckass.
You crunchy fuckass.
Crunchy fuckass.
These are so crunchy fuckers. For sure. We've lost him. We've lost.
It doesn't work together.
I think we lasted for approximately 3 minutes there.
Sorry we set you up there.
It's some very delicious fuckers.
I haven't tried the fuckers yet, but let me take a bite. These are delicious.
Aren't they?
Really nice.
They taste the fuckers.
Though crunchy, they don't have they're not dry.
They kind of taste like a sponge finger if it was crunchy.
I agree.
Do you know what I mean?
I'd agree with that.
And they're really nice. I like
them
a lot.
And Tarek, also, nice of you to include some Pringles.
Thank you so much.
Who doesn't love a Pringle?
Everyone loves a Pringle.
Yeah, I love Pringles too, it's very nice.
Tuck in.
Yes, is it crunchy?
Exceptionally crunchy.
There's so much crunching going on.
There's also loads of nuts. We've got peanuts, almonds and cashews.
We've gone full
and crunchy chickpeas. Oh,
we've
my
actually
God.
Got we've gone full gulp core because we've gone for good old
it's trail mix
raisins and peanuts.
Tariq, how has it been taking us around Morocco? Annoying, I imagine.
No. Very nice. I am enjoying every minute with you guys.
Oh,
yes. It's really nice to meet you guys, and you are welcome. Thank you so much.
The feeling is mutual.
Probably the best trip guide I've ever had.
Without a doubt.
It's nice to meet you guys. Thank you, guys.
So it's actually time for hot takes, and I think I'd like to kick this one off if that's okay with you guys.
Absolutely fine.
You're very welcome. A steaming hot pile
of food-based takes. My hot take is that I like Morocco.
Oh,
and I like Marrakech. Well, it is quite hot for me because actually previously to this trip, I had quite low opinions of not the people in this country who were incredibly warm, if not a little too warm, during a hammam massage, which we don't need to go into. But my, I think with the weather that I had when I came here last time and not being massively in Marrakech, the weather was not warm. It was very rainy. And there wasn't as much hoosel and boosel as we've seen in the last couple of days. And actually, all the things that we didn't do last time put me in a sort of foul mood when it came to Morocco and Marrakech. I was a bit thinking, oh God, what if it's not a place I like? But my God, that's my opinion. I'm dribbling because my God, has my opinion changed. These last couple of days have been absolutely phenomenal. We've eaten in the houses of a Marrakesh local. We've eaten in the house of a local from the Atlas Mountains, a lady of Berber descent. We've had lamb that's been cooked underground. All of these things that we have done have been things that actually I never knew that I wanted to do because I didn't know there were things I could do. and now I've done them, I'm on top of the world.
You had a good boogie yesterday as well.
I had a phenomenal boogie.
We all had a good boogie, but you had an especially good boogie, I reckon.
Mine was a very limb-based boogie. It was throwing around lots of my limbs, which has always been something that I've been able to do. But yeah, my hot take is Morocco. What a bloody country.
I actually do have a bone to pick with you there, because you say that the people of Morocco are all very warm, but there was one particular man who was maybe not so warm.
Was that the bloke at the stall next door to the one we were eating at?
It's exactly that man. So yesterday we went around and we tried lots of lovely little bits and bobs in Marrakesh.
In the Medina.
In the markets, in the Medina. And we arrived at this, like, it was just a man surrounded by olives. And he had a big shovel so we could try all those said olives.
They were very good olives.
They were delicious olives. Nothing against the olives.
What was your favourite?
I liked the one that was the spicy preserved lemon one.
I liked that one as well.
It was really good. It wasn't that spicy, and the preserved lemon was like much mellower than preserved
lemon.
Gave
a nice bit of
tang,
UK. But not too much tang.
Yeah, oh, it was good. Anyway, continue, Michael.
Well, I couldn't quite enjoy the preserved lemons on the olives because I was too busy reeling from when this man...
did you say reeling or wheeling?
Spoiler alert. This man proceeded to leave. He crawled out from under his olives and proceeded to grab one of the oldest ladies I've ever seen in her wheelchair.
She was ancient, no teeth.
He grabbed her right by the wheelchair.
By the wheelchair and pushed her across the street.
With great strength.
I forgot, when we were talking about it yesterday, I forgot how hard he pushed
her. It was pretty aggressively.
He literally... A run-up pushed her into another stool.
She flew across the Medina into another stool. Luckily, no one was hurt.
Only saw that because I was too busy sneezing into the rest of the olives. But I just turned around and just heard a and saw her flying off. And I thought it was... You know,
it felt quite slapstick if it wasn't
it was
so
very
dark
slapstick.
That an elderly woman in a wheelchair just got pushed across the
and
Medina.
And she was old as shit.
She was really old.
She was easily 80
I think it's
something.
Probably maybe important to note that she did use her feet
yes.
to pull
herself
back.
It was a bit more slapstick
by
then she
spot.
Sort of looked around and then started shuffling backwards and then just slowly made her way back over to a very irate olive man who was being told off by basically everyone who had seen him commit
So would you say that your hot take is you shouldn't push old ladies in wheelchairs across Medinas?
Well, actually, it turns out that she'd been there all day and annoying him all day, so maybe.
Apparently, he'd asked her politely many times to move.
Okay.
Well, there we go. So, do you have a hot take?
I do, and it's not explicitly Marrakesh related, but it is travel related. Okay. My hot take is that I don't agree with the 6 a.m. airport point and spoons.
Oh. Yeah, I'm sure it was 6:30.
Now, let me fucking tell you something right now, okay? Train cans, British institution, very important.
I agree with the train can.
First
I agree
can.
But also, importantly, illegal.
Yeah, all right, only if you're Diane Abbott. But cans, right, on a train, very important.
Part of our culture.
First beer of the holiday, very important.
Yeah.
But the holiday starts in the airport, and therefore the first beer of the holiday is in the airport. And if you were getting a flight at 12 p.m., would you have a beer?
Yes, I would.
Well, that's
have one
where
then.
You're doing this wrong because there's no time in airports. It's a nether zone.
Okay, maybe this is me being elderly.
Why is Shake Shack open at 6 in the morning? Answer me this.
That doesn't make any sense to me either.
Exactly.
But okay, maybe this is me being old, but when I wake up very early, I need my sleep. And I know that if I have an early start and then I don't get more sleep, then I'll probably be really grouchy and ruin the first day of the holiday. So my technique in the airport is buy your breakfast and prep, don't have a pint.
Pass out on the plane.
Okay. So, listener, I have a caveat here. And that is that I did have a half pint of Guinness because I didn't want to be left out. So I had one. And then I got on the plane and I started to feel really funny. And then I fainted on the plane. And then I had a little fit.
Yeah.
And listener.
Shakes on a plane.
That has happened to me before. I have fainted and had a fit on a plane previously. This wasn't the first time. But I like to think that it was the half pint of Guinness that did it to me this time.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're going to start pointing fingers.
I'm starting to point fingers and I think it was the Guinness because I don't normally do that. And I think it dehydrated me a bit too much before the speedy altitude ascent.
I'll tell you why.
So it's a cautionary tale, team. Don't have the pint or half pint.
Unless you have it with porridge.
Yes, we had our pints with porridge.
My Guinness and porridge was the perfect combination of sustenance and alcohol. And I got on that flight and I was like, I'm full. and I didn't feel like fainting.
But I think just, that
you're a wise person.
Through. I actually thought it was quite nice because you like your Pret, right?
I do like my Pret.
And you don't like having a beer before a flight early in the morning, but you had a beer because it was a thing that was important to me.
I got out my comfort zone.
And I have traditionally had a full English with my pints and realised that that's such a stupid thing to do at 6 o'clock in the morning. Unless you're fucking Tom Skinner, you can't really get away with that. So I decided that because Michael's thing is that he likes a bit of porridge, I'd have a bit of porridge. So it was nice that we all sort of...
Yes.
Doing stuff for each other.
We were doing stuff for each other. But I do want to just take a quick slide back to the fainting on a plane. Because whilst we were up in the Atlas Mountains earlier, taking in the most stunning scenery you've ever seen, the aromas of lamb and vegetable tagine sort of wafting through the valleys and hitting us in the face, and the children were playing and we could see the eagles soaring around, we did have a very important conversation about what would have happened if you'd fainted and also shit yourself. And I just think that we should probably unwrap that just a little
bit. I actually wasn't
bit.
Part of this conversation, so
no, you
know.
And Si were having a really... Si,
a serious
say,
conversation
Si,
somewhere
we should actually introduce Si because he is here normally editing the podcast at home in Stratford-upon-Avon.
And now we have a real-life Si.
And now we have Si with us with his board of buttons and laptop and whatever. He's actually just watching porn, but you know, he's here. I can see the reflection in your glasses. But yeah, Si and Michael were having that chin whack whilst...
He was being my therapist for a couple of minutes while you guys were talking about shitting yourselves.
Sophie and Andrew and I were asking the important question, what about fainting yourself? Pretty embarrassing. Fainting yourself, and then shitting yourself or pants. What would you do?
Well, luckily, Angela had her bag on the plane. So I probably would have had to borrow some of Angela's bottoms, but I had just met Angela, you know, an hour before.
Angela, who is the senior marketing manager at Intrepid, and she actually was giving Sophie some excellent advice about what to do when you...
I just had a thought. I was like, wouldn't that be embarrassing? I've literally just met this lovely client, not an hour before, and then she has to kind of help me come to, and I have a fit on a plane. And that did actually happen in real life. That was embarrassing enough. What if I also shit myself?
It would have been rubbish.
Yeah, quite
Angela's reaction to you passing out, I think it would have been equally as lovely.
You had a Coke.
She would have been
compassionate. You had a Coke in your hands like that.
Yeah, Michael speedily got up, got me the FFC.
Got to be done.
Ready to rumble.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the airport pint.
It's not for you.
It's not for me because I value getting that sleep on the plane, which I didn't get this time because I had a faint instead. But you win some, you lose some.
There you go. Well, I mean, those are some pretty hot takes.
I just want to ask one question. Would you rather shit yourself on a plane or the plane be full of snakes?
Are they poisonous snakes? I'm ready for the loopholes.
Okay, so...
Or are they just friendly snakes?
Rules are thus. Shit yourself on a plane, you happen to be hosting a trip for Intrepid with fans of the podcast who have come on the trip with you, paid handsomely to meet their hero, Sophie Wybird.
White linen trousers.
You're wearing white linen trousers.
Yeah.
And you've had two pints of Guinness because you're getting a bit excited. The snakes, there's 40 of them. It's a classic Boeing 737 Airbus. Is that what? Not an Airbus.
That's not a Boeing 737 Airbus, but yeah, we'll go with 737.
No, but your daddy's a pilot.
My daddy's
so
a pilot.
What plane are we saying? I'm saying classic EasyJet flight.
I'm saying, oh, EasyJet. Oh, we're talking about like a 777.
Yeah, like a 180-seater.
Yeah, like
180. I don't know what any of 180 these words mean, but that's
so,
fine.
Nor do I. I'm actually just going along with it, but it sounds pretty convincing, I think.
It sounds good, yeah.
Okay, snakes-wise, there's 50 to 60 of them. I won't decide a number between those two numbers. And
that's okay.
It's about three per row.
13 of them are poisonous.
What? Ooh, that sounds quite dangerous.
13 of them are poisonous to the point where you can actually not die if you
get bit by
them.
Is there an antidote on the plane?
No antidote on board. They're poisonous, but not to the point where you die, but three of them.
Also, important to note, they're not yet irritated. They're just chilling.
Can I successfully... Will the plane successfully crash land and get me antidote if I get bit?
The plane will not crash land. It will go to the nearest airport and land safely.
I'd prefer that, to be fair.
There's a third option where you shit yourself and the plane's full of snakes and they get really agitated.
Yeah, I was
after
to say,
I shit myself, the fumes really wake them up.
We can't be certain that if Sophie got bit by a snake that she wouldn't shit herself anyway. Yeah, exactly. So it's a big lose-lose situation.
13 of the snakes are the ones that are poisonous but you don't die. 3 of them are the ones that are poisonous but you do die. And 1 of them's the ones that are poisonous but only the poison makes you shit yourself.
Yeah, so if you want to think about that.
Jesus Christ, how am I to choose?
Pick one or the other.
Would you rather which one?
Snakes or poo?
The snake sounds funnier than just the straight up shitting yourself happening. It sounds like more of a story.
Which one would you rather survive?
The snake. I'd rather survive the snake. Yeah. If I shut myself on a plane filled with people who were there to see me, who weren't my immediate family and friends, then yeah, I would want to be dead, so... We'll go with the snakes.
Well, luckily, the intrepid trip leaders are specially trained not to shit themselves on the tour, so that's great news.
It's so true.
That's why Tarek wears 2 pairs of trousers.
Have you used the bum gum while you're here?
Yes, so the bum, this is, again, going back to my previous trip to Marrakesh and Morocco. I had sort of a negative thing about the bum gun because I thought I'd give it a go, be cultural. And
to
without...
be clear, the bum gun is a little shower next to the loo, which you squirt on your bum after you've done a number 2.
Straight up the holio to sort of clean it out. And what happened the first time I used it, and what the problem was is that I didn't actually have an intrepid trip leader with me to tell me how to use it. So I just went under, sprayed it, and it just went straight between the gap of my legs, straight in my eyes. And I thought,
it's important to note that Will's a very inquisitive pooer as well.
He
likes to have a look at what's going on.
I've been experimenting with wet wipes from heights.
Exactly. When your eyes are that close to your bum when you're wiping, things can go wrong.
Yeah. So, but yeah, on this trip, I have used it most successfully, actually.
That's great. And that's why you've had such a good time.
Yeah,
this time.
I've just had an excellent time so far with experimenting with fecal weapons.
So, we've talked about poo probably more than's appropriate on a food podcast this episode.
You're right. We should talk about something that's not poo. Like, for example, the stuff we've turned into poo. The delicious
It's the segue of the season.
In Morocco with Intrepid.
Obviously, we've had some nice food. So for you being the resident food expert, I think you should kick things off with what your favourite bite to eat has been.
It's quite hard because we've had so much delicious stuff in the last couple of days. I'm trying to preempt what you guys are going to say because I don't want to miss out any of the good stuff. Maybe we'll do notable mentions at the end. But my highlights actually were yesterday. We spent the evening at a lovely woman called Zineb's house.
Sophie Wybird, what is happening right now?
Well, Michael Sladden, we're having a really fabulous evening. I'm currently having some henna done. We've had a Moroccan karaoke party, apparently, where there were lots of drums and music. We were a little dance. And then we had maybe the best meal we've had since we've been here. And we were mopping up the bread and all the sauce. Oh, my God, it was great. What's your highlight, Ben?
Well, my highlight, I think, is going to be whatever's being drawn on your hand right now. What is it? What are we doing? Oh, it's like a flower pattern.
The skill, it's happening so quickly. Honestly, just looked away to, I mean, I did just jabber on at Michael for a while, but I've looked back and it's basically all done. So many flowers, feels lovely.
What's your highlights, Will?
My highlight of the day, the lamb cooked in the ground, 100%. That chicken that we have just eaten now, with the bread in it, was absolutely phenomenal.
Well, that's our feedback live from the henna parlour. Sophie, how's it going?
It's going great. This feels very soothing. I feel like I'm at the spa. The main was very good, but my favourite bit was actually the starters, which I liked so much that I loaded up my plate as though it was a main, polished it off, and then swiftly realised there was more food coming, which I do all the time. I need to learn to just ask, is this the main? But that feels rude.
In all fairness, they did bring out, there's 5 of us, and they brought out quite enormous bowls and 4 of them.
Substantial amount.
Yeah, and bread.
In the bowls we had, one was a salad, which, just a simple salad, some lettuce, some tomatoes, some cucumber. So good.
Yeah,
being able to eat tomatoes and cucumbers at this time of year.
I think there was a little bit of olive oil on it.
Yeah,
it was
just a little, maybe a lemon.
Yeah, a little bit. It was not a lot, but just...
And then it was just loads of other kind of room temperature, veggie, picky bits, I would call it. One of them was a grated pumpkin. We keep seeing these enormous pumpkins everywhere. They're
bigger than you think. They are huge.
They're really weird looking. They look like some kind of...
It's like a tuber.
...deformed elephant trunk. And they keep hanging them everywhere. And we didn't know what they were, and it's just a pumpkin. But they peel that, grate it, and I imagine pan fry it to soften it. And that was cooked with cinnamon and sugar.
So good.
And other
herbs.
It
was very, very sweet.
It was really sweet. It was almost like a chutney if there was no acid in it. But like a little sweet thing to have on the side of a plate. And then there was also a kind of fried aubergine dish with lots of cumin in there. That was delicious.
That was particularly lovely.
Loved that. And then there was one with chopped up green beans, green peppers in a tomatoey sauce with loads of onions. Mm. All of them room temperature with this really fluffy flatbreads. As well as all the salads, Zineb did the most delicious chicken for the mains. Mm. Again, cooked with preserved lemon. And it was slow cooked and the chicken was so soft and it tasted buttery. Mm. But Tarek was sure there was no butter in it.
I trust him. I don't think they're very into cheese and
I don't think they're into their dairy here.
Such in a big way.
You don't really need it, to be honest, because that chicken was bloody lovely. Mm. It tasted buttery, but there was no butter. The preserved lemon was really gentle. There was turmeric in there. Oh my God, it was so good. I think it's a thing that this sounds like it's being a hammy ad, but I don't mean it in a hammy ad way. The thing that's been so great about this trip is that Intrepid take you into real local people's homes. And I feel like whenever you go to a country, that is always the best food that you eat. And with Zineb's extra income, she's been able to send her daughter to university and now she works at the bank. So we've been supporting local families to improve their lives. And Intrepid have helped us to do it. So thank you, Intrepid.
And I think it's safe to say that we all improved their lives with our dancing.
Oh my God, we haven't even talked about the dancing. Mm. We all had, I think we touched on it, but it was described to us by Tarek as local karaoke. Moroccan karaoke. Is that what he called it?
I think something along those lines.
Moroccan karaoke. The ladies were playing the drums and having a good sing. And then they called us up one by one to come and do a dance. Mm.
And we were drunk on green tea.
We were drunk on green tea.
And Hariati music. That's what it was called.
We were getting loosey-goosey on the Hariati.
Big time.
I loved it. Will did some good moves. Simon did some good moves. Michael did good moves. Me and Ange
Michael
were
and
shaking
Simon
it.
Actually did a little collab-y.
Yeah, a little thing.
They were doing that little Borat boing, bing, bang, bang, bing, bing, bang, that kind of thing.
I've got videos of all of it on my phone. Yeah. So check out our Instagram to see the goods. So we love that. It's been a really nice way of looking around the city.
I completely agree with you, although I did get quite confused in the toilet because...
Will, we're trying to just stay away from the poo chat for
no
a
more.
Minute.
No, I know, but
I did do
in...
a wee in there and I couldn't close the door.
Well,
I'm pretty sure I showed my bum to anyone who walked past in the corridor.
It was a stand and squatty one and I got a bit confused when I was in there, but
you got to go native.
Yeah, it was a lovely experience. That chicken was...
biblically
outrageously
nice.
Good. And there was nothing else with it really, was there? It was just chicken and sauce.
Yeah. And loads of really good bread to mop it up.
And the bread in the sauce for a little bit. No one seems to be... I keep trying to make you guys get on my technique of leaving a bit of bread in the sauce.
Let it sit.
Fluffy side down, forgetting it's there, and then a little bit you're thinking, oh, what do I want to eat? Oh! 2 minutes later,
saucy bread.
I've got
saucy
a bread,
bread
that's completely sucked up all
Will,
the flavour.
I have seen how you've reacted when other people have said pepper noir, so I will not be copying anything you do.
I react with nothing but sheer joy when people shout pepper noir at me on the street. I love it. It's the best.
Well, what I had for lunch today, guys.
That's such a good cackle. Stop it.
God,
you're really
yeah, really.
I'm a fountain
at altitude. The cackle just hits different.
Yeah,
Michael, what was it that you had to eat?
What we had for dinner
in Morocco with Intrepid.
So when I'm abroad, I like to adventure a little bit, just a little bit, not too much.
Not too much.
Today we adventured. We were in the Higher Atlas Mountains.
Much against your will, though.
Well, why?
Well, because Intrepid were taking us, and you didn't want that, so you tried to stay in bed the whole time. You were last down for breakfast.
You were very late to breakfast.
We know that you didn't really want to go, and you had
that's
to be
just,
forced
that's
into
literally
it.
Literally not true. It I is. Was last to breakfast because I'm such an adventurer that I don't keep time. which is sort of not true. I was late to breakfast because I wasn't hungry because we ate so well yesterday that I thought breakfast is not for me. We drove 2 hours, 1.5 hours out of Marrakesh into the Atlas Mountains. And we were met by a small town called Imlil and a mule called Cappuccino. Probably the happiest mule I've ever seen. I haven't seen many, but she was a happy girl called Cappuccino. And she picked us up from the local markets where we had picked up all our produce, the lamb, the veg, and then took us up the mountain.
Sorry, can we just quickly talk about how Tarek was sort of pranking us for ages about...
The fact that Cappuccino might not show up.
We kept
up.
On going like round corners and up bends and stuff. And it, just the way he was... He does have a great...
He's a joker.
A very unique sense of humour.
Very deadpan.
Kept on thinking, is this a complete joke? There's not actually going to be anyone...
A mule that I'm allowed to ride up a mountain.
Yes, there's not actually going to be a happy horse for us to sort of
go with. Horse slash donkey, I think.
Well, actually, if anything, it is a horse. It's a mule. Yeah. A happy meal.
Happy meal.
A happy medium.
Did he make this up? Are we not going to see a happy little meal at the end of this thing?
And then it was literally, I was thinking, why have we stopped? Why have we stopped for, mm-hmm. what are we doing standing here? And then round the corner.
This radiant little mule came. Oh.
Is there anything more authentic than going through local markets? Buying your tomatoes, buying your veg, buying your meat from the butcher.
You watch our lamb literally get carved off a haunch of a whole lamb.
He was using as well.
Sharp. That was the sharpest knife I've ever seen.
But the one on the
tree stump.
He made light work of that lamb. Yeah, Jesus Christ! He carved it up so quickly.
You have to be so that was the biggest, the longest, widest knife I've ever seen.
It was incredible. Very skilled.
Lord of the Rings.
We loaded the food onto cappuccino, then we walked up up the mountain to a it was a Berber family in their home, which had a stunning view, and we did a cooking class.
Sophie, what's going on?
Well, we're doing a cooking class. We've just done a little hike up into the Atlas Mountains, and there's some really cute little kids here, and we're sitting around a table. I've just peeled a carrot with a knife and chopped them into bits. Angela's doing that too. Will's chopped an onion. Michael's chopping an onion. And I believe we're making a vegetable tagine and a lamb tagine with a really lovely family in their home up here. We've washed our hands in really hot water with soap because there's no running water up here. There's all these really beautiful terracotta pots and some very vibrant looking spices. It's all looking great.
Oh my God, this chair's too small for my bum. Salam.
Salam.
It was amazing.
We say cooking class, we chopped some veg. I had a bloody lovely day. I learned this family are very kind, and
I feel like that's
tagine's lovely.
Cooking class is the wrong terminology. It was more of a sort of,
we all kind of mucked in together, like
exactly
we were a family.
Yeah. Completely. Tarek obviously works as our translator for the trip, but it was very gestural. Is that a word? There was a lot of gesturing going on. I was told repeatedly that
she did not like it.
It was very
peeling.
Clear that we were doing everything wrong.
She did not like
I think she liked my chopping.
Your chopping was good.
I think she liked mine.
My chopping, the way that I tried to peel the potato was wrong because everything was done with quite a small knife and it's very much like Nonna's thumb thing where you've got your little thumb, little knife against the back of it. So I wasn't peeling things properly. I didn't cut the courgettes properly. I didn't do this properly. I didn't do that properly. Then when it came to the spicing of the meat, so I was like, oh, can we put this much in? She was, no, half teaspoon. Well, she didn't say that. She said whatever, but I knew what she meant because I'm fluent in Berber now, apparently, through the music of gestures. But
whilst you were chopping incorrectly, I was with a two-year-old boy who was gestantly blowing kisses at Sophie whilst trying to chop an onion. The most terrifying thing I've ever seen, he just kept grabbing the knife. I kept grabbing it off him and just sort of stabbing this onion. It was scary. And actually, after our day was up, he sort of swaggered off into the...
He was going, bye.
Adam. Bye-bye.
I liked him.
As we were leaving, he walked away and his dad or his cousin or whatever was like shouting for him and he just carried on walking away.
Walking down the mountain.
Down a cliff,
his
yes.
He was like two or three.
I liked his vibe so much. I'm going to ship over my baby niece to marry him.
That's a good idea.
I want him to be in my family. I'm ready. Adam, I'm coming for you.
The best thing I ate to this trip... Actually, I mean, we've eaten some amazing stuff, but... Nothing's better than when you have ground the flour yourself. You have lit the fire yourself. You have boiled the kettle yourself.
You have made the bread yourself.
No, it's not
true. I thought you weren't allowed matches.
Basically, I was presented with some dough that had been kneaded a lot. I needed it a little bit. And then...
Who needed it?
Well, someone needed
to. Name.
Angela, you needed it.
It was Angela.
And I finished it off.
She loosened the lid for you. We all know it.
And then also I didn't cook it. But it was then presented to us with a sort of... bruschetta style tomato-y, chili.
There was some chopped onion, some coriander, some green chili, some cumin. Tomato.
It was wonderful, that.
It was delicious. And I never enjoy food more than when I feel like I've worked for it. No, I didn't actually cook it, but we did walk up a mountain.
Well, we participated.
No, with a mule.
Sophie did most of the vegetable. No, you did most of the lamb one.
I did. Simon did a lot of the lamb.
I seasoned both of them, and we did. It was all mucking in together.
I stopped Adam from stabbing himself. So that
with bread, crucially, the kind of the germs on your hands contribute to the flavour of the bread. Oh. So your hands would have, you know.
Ah, oh, that's why
germs
it
make it
like
sound.
Thanks, Will. Brilliant.
Germs make it sound worse.
I told you not to tell anyone.
Yeah, Yeah, Joe's making it sound worse than it is. Just, you know, your natural bacteria. Yeah. The good bacteria.
Mm. And it was great.
So
it was,
and you've
been using the bun gun, so they're probably...
A lot of natural bacteria probably in that bread, for sure.
No more poo.
I just wanted to say, though, we're forgetting one crucial thing about the bread. It was served to us in two different ways.
It was.
Yeah.
It's the same dough.
Yeah.
But one of them was served in the sort of way that they do naan bread, in like a tandoori oven, because they threw it on the side of the... I don't know, the clay oven. There was a sort of clay oven, but it was like a circle with like a gap punched out of it, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
It was quite tall and wide, and they put it on the side. And the softer bread was absolutely delicious and perfect for mopping up the tagine juices. And the crispy bread, when you put the... Not bruschetta, but bruschetta, or as you described it,
guac without the avo.
Yeah. Guac without the avo. Yeah, that was like a nice crunchy bit.
It was like a tortilla chip. Yeah. But
and
yeah,
the term breaking
version.
Bread has never felt so right.
There was a lot of bread.
True. We were
He's broken
bread.
So much bread. Yeah. The last
I'm
two
a
days.
Doughy little boy.
I love being a doughy little boy.
I just checked out my muffin top in front of the mirror earlier. It's the bread.
Looking sexy.
It's the bread. Yeah.
But yeah, I always think a good meal is all about context, right? And when you are in the sun in the Atlas Mountains, your food's been carried up a mountain by a mule, and you're surrounded by good friends and podcast hosts and Simon and Angela. It is really is.
And Hassan and Saeed
Tariq. It was lovely.
It was absolutely lovely. And the other thing I thought was so nice about that experience is that there was an hour and a half. And Abdul specifically trying to say, oh, if you want to walk up, we just hiked only 3K, but up a pretty much vertical like mountain. And he's, oh, if you want to walk around here and sort of see the goats. I said, no, thank you. I can see the goats from where I am. But there was an hour and a half.
I'm trying to ask Sophie whether she'd rather shit herself or be on a plane with snakes.
But there was but that hour and a half between when the tagine went on and when we actually sat down to eat it was just like...
Glorious.
It was weird because it's like having downtime on a holiday, but we're just in the nicest place ever.
It was amazing.
It was just so lovely to sort of take it all in. And as I said, witness the soaring eagles and the wafts of tagine.
Exactly. And in our traditional dress.
And oh yeah, we were dressed up in the...
It was ceremonial wedding gear.
They
took the ladies to the next room. Me and Ange put on... I was in kind of a knitted cream situation and a very flattering yellow silk scarf bonnet thing tied around my head very nicely. Mm. There was also a very sweet baby strapped to the lady's back.
Oh, there was a baby.
Having a good natter with while I was getting dressed. Lovely. Yeah, apparently it's what we wear to your wedding. So
interesting.
I'll cancel that dress.
They were like kaftans, but very thin. It was quite... It was nice, you know?
It was nice.
Sat down, just chilled out.
It was great. And that's my... that was my favourite thing we ate.
The meal, it was a good meal. That lamb.
Oh, the lamb tagine.
Also,
delicious.
I need to know about the internal science of a tagine dish. Because
we need to do some research on this.
And that lamb was soft. And normally, like, you're not going to get really, really
soft. A standard
soft
oven
lamb.
Could never.
I think it must be
steamy. The steaminess. Steam and, yeah.
But it's
like
not
a
like
little pressure cooker.
But that's what I was thinking.
It must create some kind of pressure, that funnel.
It must do.
We'll research and come back to you.
Well, lamb cooking has been a theme.
Yeah, my favourite bites.
Yeah, I have a feeling I know what this is going to be.
Yeah, my favourite bite this trip has been. And frankly, that chicken was phenomenal. And I don't like picking favourites, but you've already fucking spoken about everything else, so I'll just speak about the lamb. But no, the lamb, I've always said, I think Sophie, you and I have the same sort of opinions, that the simple food is the best.
Not me. You know
Michael,
me. I like complex food.
Very into complex food, tasting menus.
Huel.
Processed.
Two Michelin star restaurants. Huel, which though...
I'm not that into... I don't know where this has come from. I did suggest
you
that
had
I
a Huel. You did have a Huel phase.
You did have a Huel phase.
It was because I was so busy. I didn't have time for anything else.
Yeah, and that's exactly what they want from their victims. I think the best food is the food that manages to be as tasty as something really, really, really special whilst being very, very few ingredients. And I've read about Morocco and its relationship as a country with lamb and the ways they cook it. And obviously in Greece, there's a lot of kleftico and burying lamb and cooking things underground. But my God, we were with Attica, who took us to... She took us to a donut place. She took us to an olive place. Took us to this... what's it? Schwunge, the name of these savoury donuts, which were nice, but I was thinking, they could do with some sugar. But that's just,
I loved them.
They were nice. They were
nice. Like really, they were like donuts, but quite savoury. Mm. And the dough was really soft. It was like really soft pizza dough / a croissant.
I think,
turned into donut shape.
I think
fried.
As Brits, we have this sort of... We like to go abroad and try something, be like, oh, wouldn't it be good with an Nutella?
That literally is what happened this morning when we got that. It was so cold when we got to the Atlas Mountains and we were at the foot of this
bit. We were
all
very inappropriately dressed.
Because it was been 27 degrees and we're like, oh no, it'll be fine. So we had like jumpers and shorts on.
The bikini
and I was like,
just wasn't off.
That man's cooking hot bread at whatever, 8:30 in the morning or whatever time. What time was it? About 8:30. I was like, let's just have some hot bread. And then we were eating. I was like, oh, this would be good with some Marmite on it.
We were going butter, salted butter.
But the lamb, simplicity in its finest form. Lamb slow cooked. I think it went in at 9 a.m. or 8 a.m. and it was ready by lunchtime. So it had been in for what, about 5-6 hours, something like that. I was quite surprised at how deep the hole
was. It was the deepest pit in the ground. You walk into like a standard looking kebab shop and there's a little hole in the ground and you peek into it and I swear to God, it must have been about
8 foot.
Yeah.
It was about 8 foot.
Oh, no, it was deeper than that.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Oh, it was deep.
Yeah, it was deep.
You'd break your neck if you found
it. I honestly think it was about 5 feet.
I have loads of delicious lamb. It's probably more than that. Well,
I reckon it was about 6 meters deep.
Yeah. I'd just like to say, simplicity is a relative term. Having to dig a 6 meter deep hole to cook your lamb isn't the most simple thing ever.
So I'm going to make it work in my nunhead garden.
The process, not simple at all. But this lamb, I don't think they put even any salt on it or anything like that. They obviously get rid of its lovely fur and whatever, its wool. And then they throw it down in a pit full of hot coals. They cook it for 6 or 7 hours or whatever it is. And then Attica was taking us on a sort of tasting bites trip. Attica was a local legend.
She's not dead.
Good point. She's not dead. She's well and truly alive. And the spirit of the food scene in Marrakesh beats through her. Attica took us to this donut place. She took us to the olive place. And then she took us to the place with the pit of lamb. It was only supposed to be small bites. They brought out, I guess it was a piece of the sort of, I couldn't tell you what. It wasn't the head.
It felt shouldery. It felt like a slab of shoulder to me.
It was sort of caramelized fat and really, really soft, juicy meat. And
we tore it apart like rabbit dogs.
We tore it apart and it was served with bread and it was served with just a little pile of cumin salt. And that, when you just sort of gave it a little flick onto the wet flesh, was sort of like, it just stuck. And that with the bread. I'm getting a very wet mouth now.
Dribble everywhere.
So tasty. And we had such, in theory, such a small amount for five people, but we were this was just before we obviously went to Zineb's house and had a mega feast. But these little bites, I think I had two bites of just soft lamb with some of like the lamby fat that was just like explosively juicy with that cumin salt. Just a very small amount of cumin and a very small amount of salt. Not enough for it to taste too cuminy or too salty.
It was mad. It just woke it up.
It was so good. And it was just this
nice...
And
the fat was so good.
Nice tiled. It kind of tasted the fat, the way that it cooked, I don't know for why, but it tasted a bit like bone marrow.
Yeah,
It wasn't really like lamb fat.
It had a real
sort
of sweetness.
It didn't taste lamby.
No. Fat can be quite overwhelming, but all the lamb fat we've had this trip has been...
That for me, contextually, the best meal was probably the one in the Atlas Mountains, which was just crazy. The most beautiful scenes whilst eating a meal I think I've ever had in my life. And then eating in someone's house, which was amazing. But that bite of lamb is going to stay with me for a very, very long time.
It's actually quite hard to choose what the best bits were, but I think those are three good selection of things.
Absolutely.
And the bum gun.
Tasty, tasty. I've honestly been so impressed with the food here. I haven't cooked that much Moroccan food, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
I've cooked a tagine, probably not a very authentic one. I bought some ras el hanout in the market yesterday, though, so it smells a lot better than any of the shit you can get in the UK. Very excited to eat that.
I might land you in it here, Sophie, but have you got anything to show us, tell us, and smell us?
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Chomp and tell and smell.
I don't have something to show you. Or smell you, but I can tell you.
I guess that I have to do.
So there's a few national dishes of Morocco in my mind. There's tagine, which we talked about. There's couscous, which we haven't eaten yet. Mm. We've learned you eat as a separate meal to tagine. We treat that like a side.
It's a side.
Absolutely wild.
Ask Ainsley Harriott. But it's a side.
Tomorrow we're having couscous, apparently. So we'll be able to retrospectively tell you about that after the trip. Mm. But the other main dish that people in Morocco absolutely love is pastilla, which we had on our first day here. It's basically a phyllo pie. You tend to get little individual ones, and chicken is the most common thing. And it's basically a little phyllo pie stuffed with shredded up chicken that's probably been cooked in spices. Maybe it's left over from a tagine, or maybe it's just cooked individually, I don't know.
And then they go and spoil it all by covering it with icing, sugar and cinnamon.
Honestly, Will, that is quite literally the funniest thing you've ever done.
There's also a nutty paste in there.
I didn't want to cut you off, but it popped into my head.
Well, give us your thoughts on pastilla.
Very, very tasty.
Tell it like it is.
Very tasty, but I can't back the amount of icing sugar that was on. Could have been that specific one. I don't know how much icing sugar goes on it. In that specific restaurant at that specific time, there was a lot of icing sugar on it. Quite a lot of cinnamon, which I do quite like with savoury meats.
Oh, yeah, I love
meats
it with the
anyway.
Savouries, yeah.
But it was too sweet.
I think it's a meal for special occasions is the point of a pastilla. It used to be with pigeon.
The only way I could explain it is if you went to a shop that sold Danish pastries and said, I'll have that Danish pastry, but I want it to be just like a korma.
Yeah, I think it's more of like,
really,
could you fill my mince pie with chicken korma?
I thought it was good.
It's not as weird as it sounds.
Touch too sweet.
I did not like it. It was just very, very sweet. And I think that in the same way that people are raised with different textures, and some people like very gristly things and some people like very sweet things, it was quite a weird balance of savoury to such excessive sweet.
We have actually found that they love sweet stuff here, because tea, everyone says dollop in sugar.
So much sugar. Yeah. What was the percentage we were given? 95% of people put sugar in their tea in Morocco. Is that not mental?
That's quite a lot.
Actually, I don't know very many people who put sugar in their tea in the UK.
Yeah, I always used to think it was like a really normal thing, like when I was a kid and I never really drunk tea, but... When people said, oh, can I have a builder's brew? I thought it meant seven sugars or like loads of sugars.
Yeah.
Milk, no sugar in it.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
If I'm feeling a bit faint, I'll have a sugar in my tea.
I did decorate it for a while, but I was never a builder. So,
how many sugars were you having in that period?
Two or three. No, I'm just kidding. The guy that I work for, they very rarely offered us a cup of tea.
Rude.
Well, we were renovating a home for disabled people, so there was no actual clients in there. We were just sort of...
Okay, I'm glad that's where that went.
There was no one to offer us a cup of tea.
I am really on board with, though, that they do here really well is fruit with savoury things. Lots of people don't like that, but I really like that.
Like a raisin.
Like a raisin in a savoury. A date in a savoury. Preserved lemon. We love her. Mm. Would you like the pastilla better if it was pigeon, as was traditional?
I think pigeon would be a richer meat, and therefore it might counteract the sort of
It could do.
Not to Jay Rainer your ass, but I do think that pigeon as a deeper flavour might balance better with a very
maybe the gamier might counteract the sweet. Better
the only time
mind.
I've ever had pigeon was when Anthony Worrell Thompson gave it to me on a wafer cracker in Henley.
Explain.
What? That's the most mental sentence you've said the whole trip.
He was in a tent. And I was there, and he was just serving...
Which tent? Yeah, more explanation.
I live near a town called Henley. It's very posh. And they had a Henley Food Festival. And Anthony Worrell Thompson is a famous pickpocketer. Not a pickpocketer. That's not what he did.
Kleptomaniac.
Kleptomaniac from the area. And he would, I imagine he stole many pigeons and guinea fowl and all of those cooked them up.
Shoved them in a pie.
And then gave them to me on a biscuit. And I feel like...
pigeon biscuit sounds like slang for something nasty.
It was delicious. He was like,
pigeon biscuit.
My little boy, would you like some muntjac?
What if you made him sound like a pedo?
He's not
my
a
little
pedo,
boy. You made him sound like the fucking child catcher out of Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
He's the Fagin of Henley. That's what he is. And little boy, would you like some muntjac? And I was like, I've never had muntjac before. Ate it. Delicious. Pigeon, delicious.
Muntjac, I actually don't like pigeon very much. Spoiler, I'd rather it was chicken.
Really? But you know when you're 10 and someone's feeding you food you never had before and you're like, that's great. I'm going to tell all my friends.
Roofies.
I'm going to tell all my friends in 18 years' time on a podcast. That's it. Sorry, anyway.
You shouldn't accept things that you don't know what they are from...
My mum was with
especially
me.
Especially
not specifically
especially
Anthony Worrell
biscuits.
Thompson, but...
Just before Anthony Worrell Thompson's legal team... Is he in jail? No, I don't think so.
I think he's fine.
No, he's rich and famous. Before they get in touch, it's all allegedly.
He said the key word allegedly. You can't do shit now.
And actually, we've got another day of joyfulness in Morocco, but it is tomorrow, and tomorrow hasn't happened yet. So we're going to have to talk about that in the future, which will be in London. But this will be presented to you right now in the present, in the form of us talking to each other.
So via the magic of editing, we are now in London, and we were just in Morocco.
I thought it was the magic of aerospace travel. Really.
I thought it was movie magic.
It was a little bit movie magic.
Oh, no, sorry, yeah. You're right, it was movie magic. But
it
we're
was
here.
Very nearly a magic carpet, actually, because you almost bought one back from Morocco from the souk, didn't you?
I did, and actually, we're here to talk about basically what happened on that day.
It was that day, the last day.
The last day.
There was a lot of shopping done that day.
A little bit too much shopping done. Not a lot from me. From you, though.
Well, you didn't have a big suitcase. Me and Will luckily did. Yeah. So we
In fact, the funny thing, filled our boots. We
were,
yeah. And funnily enough, not the big suitcases. We just put all our other stuff in the big suitcases and then kept hold of our very...
Cradled our crockery on the plane.
Cradled our crockery,
oh,
exactly.
Really?
Yes.
It was easily damaged. But we obviously, bit of a shopping trip on the
last
day.
Did some good haggling.
Some haggling better than other haggling. I think your haggling was pretty good. My haggling was pretty shit.
Yeah, I kept walking past you, Will, and every time I walk past, it sounds like he's getting shafted.
Yeah, I was getting shafted. It was hard to sit down on the plane, but...
Tarek did help me a few times.
Yeah, Tarek didn't help me. Tarek, great guy. I love Tarek. Not got a bad word to say about him, but... Could have fucking stepped in. I was in trouble there. I was in the pits. Although, actually, one thing I did do that was probably quite deceitful, and I doubt that the guys that worked in that particular shop will listen to this podcast. And if they do, got you. But he said a word to me. He said a number to me. I think it was 2,300 or something.
Is it dirham?
Dirham. Yeah. And I said 2,000. He said okay, and then walked ahead of me and said to the guy that had the card machine, 2,300, and as he walked off, I said, he actually agreed 2,000 with me back there, which is basically true because he did. And the guy went, oh, all right, and just charged me 2,000.
So, actually, on second thoughts, he actually said 1,500.
No, that would have been nice, though.
That is the thing with haggling. You have to go for half, don't you, immediately.
Yeah.
That's what we were told, yeah.
It's
just start half. The thing is, you're probably never getting that good a deal. They're not going to sell it to you for less than they want to sell it.
The thing is,
you leave feeling really smug.
But it's also difficult when they just say no. And you're like,
that's when I go, okay, bye.
Oh, that's smart.
I shall take my business to one of the other identical shops.
Exactly. I'll probably see that mug the next street along.
Yeah, there was quite a lot of, I mean, they probably get them, there's probably a lot of it's made in the same sort of area because there was quite a lot of similar crockery. But anyway,
we've got some
lovely plates.
Have you used them?
Yep. I did a larb inspired by that larb that you made for us on this very podcast.
Glad to be of service.
I served that on one of them, just a big bowl of beautifully seasoned pork mince. And then I did I actually did a steak fajita pasta, which is quite nice. Like creamy.
Sounds offensive.
Just like the Moroccans would like it.
Yeah,
steak
just
fajita pasta.
In the traditional Moroccan sense of steak fajita pasta.
In a tagine?
I didn't cook it in a tagine. I cooked it in an 8-foot hole in the ground with a load of dead lambs. I served that on it. And they're very nice pieces of crockery. I'm about to move house, so I've not wanted to use them too much because I'm waiting until
you're starting to wrap things.
Little housewarming, and then maybe I'll do like a huge plate of spaghetti.
Oh, yes.
Nice.
But not invite anyone round.
So the shopping was
just for me.
Just for you. Mm. Oh, that's nice. Just after the shopping, we then went for lunch, Sophie.
We did. We went to a nice place called Amal's, which is a non-profit spot in Marrakesh where they do very delicious food. And
It was couscous day.
Friday couscous day.
Tarek told us nothing else.
And they do couscous day right in Morocco.
It was really good, the couscous.
If your idea of couscous day is a day when you will have more couscous than anything in the world.
The portions were enormous there, and they train up local women to join the local workforce, basically. It's getting women into the workforce by training them up as cooks in the kitchen, and then they have the restaurant, they got cooking classes. Mm. I think they had a catering company as well, they said.
And then we were whisked away to a garden where Will made us pull up a chair so he could take lots of photos.
That was actually before.
Was it?
We were in the garden before.
And we saw the very old mosque.
We did. The one that didn't fall down during the earthquake.
It had a little...
Mustafa.
It swayed around.
Took us on a little tour.
Yeah, Mustafa took us about. I liked him. Yeah. Good vibe.
We went to the Juice place after
the
our
delicious
trip around the beautiful garden.
I think I got the best flavour.
Did you get orange and ginger?
Orange and ginger.
Mm. Yeah, we, I got a bit of a hangover.
I did enjoy the mix, actually.
Yeah, the mix was nice. Yours was nicer.
Refreshing.
And it was very much because we were only a tiny bit hungover because we'd had a bit of wine with our the night previous to Jean.
You left us drinking Moroccan rosé in the previous bit of the episode.
Yeah.
We continued to drink a lot of Moroccan rosé.
There was a lot of Moroccan wine. Is
delicious,
so good. I suppose that was one of the things that was a bit of an eye opener about the trip. We sort of have these preconceptions about Muslim countries, Morocco being one of them, and you know, we talked about Amal being, you know, pushing towards women having a better place in the workplace, but the booze thing as well. Like, you have this idea that they don't drink in Muslim countries at all, but they've cultivated
some bloody lovely vines.
I'm not a wine snob, but I know that I like a light Provence rosé. Mm-hmm. That's what I like in the sunshine, and we were blessed with good weather, to be fair, while we were there. But that wine, both of them that were like made, I think he said just to the northeast of Marrakesh. I can't remember exactly where he said.
Checks out. Yeah. Sounds right.
Yeah. But it was genuinely a really, really, really nice one. On a par with the £10 bottle of Provence Rosé from Sainsbury's, which is...
I love that one.
It's a classic.
She's a goodie.
Yeah.
So that Sainsbury's was,
that
call
was
me.
That was an interesting part of the trip, I thought, on the whole.
It was. And that was the end of the third day. And we got whisked away to the airport.
And then... We thought that you'd got through because you were flying off to Lisbon.
Yeah.
We haven't spoken about that, actually.
We parted ways with Michael at security because his boarding pass wasn't working and never saw him again.
And then we'd seen him again because there was a man that from, I'd say, what, was probably about 60 metres away, that distance, in your exact outfit, looked exactly like you, but we know it wasn't you because you would never reach into a freezer, pull out a Magnum, look at it,
and put it back. No way. I know what ice cream I'm getting when I go in the freezer.
What is it?
Good question. Depends what's in the freezer. If it is a...
You've got Magnums, Maxi Buns, Cornettos and...
Feasts
and also Calippo Shots.
If there's one of those sort of crazy shots. Magnums that's got like the sort of like triple layers caramel, all of that stuff, a billionaire's Magnum.
Yeah.
Get that.
Ooh, okay, nice.
And anyway, that was the third day. Back to us in Morocco.
Okay, let's wrap this up. So they put in Michael and their culinary free tips are vital.
That tastes great.
But it's a bit of a mouthful.
So would you believe it? We've only done 1/6 of the amount of days that you get to do on the Morocco Real Food Adventure because we've only been here for 2 days and that's a 12-day trip. So Tariq, can you tell the listener what they can do on the Real Food Adventure that we haven't done?
Well, the real food adventure is actually, it's about 12 days trip, which it starts actually from Casablanca.
Really?
So yeah. It starts from Casablanca. There is a lot of stuff in the trip, actually. It includes like culture, but also a lot of stuff, a lot of cooking. Like, for example, there is street breakfast in Fez, for example. Chef Shawin, it has also goat cheese tasting. Also in Moulay Driss, it's another area. It's a village where we make a couscous demonstration for everybody's cooking there. And then we go from there to Fez. We have a couple of days, and Fez is renowned as gastronomic city. So we're actually making their pastilla, chicken pastilla. And each one actually makes
it. Make it.
Oh yes. Amazing. Yeah, they've got to make it and eat it also after that. So, and after that, we're going to Sahara Desert, actually. You know,
apparently that's the best bit.
It's beautiful.
I've heard that's pretty special.
Yeah. On the side of cooking, which is the main item like of our like trip, there is also enjoying the constellation and stars and stuff in Sahara Desert. So
wait,
it's
a
beautiful
second.
Experience. Yeah.
Sounds like we might need to do this.
I think we're coming back.
We might have to come back for the full.
Angela, text Bridget and tell her to change our flights because we're staying for another 10 days so
full,
we can
full
do the full thing.
Yeah, let's start tomorrow then.
Well, Tariq, you have been honestly the biggest pleasure. It's been the most fun.
Thank you
so
much, guys.
Say goodbye to everyone.
Yes, goodbye, everyone.
Nice to meet you, everybody.
I hope to see you soon in Morocco. Thank you
Perfect.
So much.
And we're off to get drunk and have a lovely dinner. See you later.
Yay!
I have some amazing news. Our partners, Intrepid, you know them. There, the food trip guys.
No, the ones.
Oh, the guys that do the food trips.
Yeah, yeah,
the food
yeah.
trips. They're, what's
food
it?
Trip is, of the yeah, week.
Isn't their slogan food trips only?
Food trips only. Good trips only.
Good trips only, sorry. Yeah,
Angela right, yeah. has just been on the phone to me. And she told me that between the 22nd and the 29th of February, 2024...
That's 1 week.
That's 1 week.
That's a whole week.
They are discounting all food trips by 20% for a bit of a mouthful listeners only.
That's
an exclusive deal. You can go to our link in bio right now and you will receive 20% off all food trips.
What if someone decides they want to go on the trip with 20% off, but they want to go with 4 to 5 of their friends who don't listen to the podcast? What happens then?
I guess they'd have to ask their friends to start listening to the podcast.
Yeah, they'd have to be able to recite some of the lore of the podcast.
Exactly.
That's how you verify and get the discount.
It's a great deal.
It's a good deal.
Head to the link in bio. Enjoy it. I mean, we went to Morocco and had a great time, didn't we?
We did.
I loved it.
We
did.
So go get 20% off some
food.
Of that good,
ambience good, company all right.
Oh, there you go. Well, you can get 20% off that exact package right now. Link in bio.
Don't talk with your mouth full unless you're talking about food, in which case it's useful. And that's just what we're about to do. It's all the Woody and Michael, and they're culinary tips so vital.
That tastes great.
It's a bit of a mouthful.